Yeah, it's rough now, I'm sure. Yeah. So we're doing Erchin, continuing in Shira. But again, I said like last time, I think my opinion is that this is, we'll see, but I think this is similar to the philosophical side of this again. Again, I think that the way they're on Paskins, and you'll see, they have like a more philosophical type of sound to it, is that the halachic role of Shira, essentially, is... Okay, yeah, so I said the Rambam only brings down the first one, the other ones he leaves out. I mean, you'll see, I mean, the Gemara's, that's really the one in the Torah, and these are like, they're really mudim. I don't think these are really mudim, that's my opinion. But we'll see, let's go through, we'll see. I mean, I don't know if I think we'll do at least one of them. I don't know if we'll do, there's a bunch of them. So, it says, Ramasna, fourth white line on Yad Aleph, Ramasna Mehacha. Tachas Hashem lo avatas Hashem lekecha b'simcha v'tuv levav. Pasuk saying, I guess it's in Tochacha, saying it's you're going to get cursed because you didn't serve God with simcha, whatever that means, happiness, and tuv levav, and a good heart, or good natured heart, or good whatever that means. Ezev yavoda shav simcha v'tuv levav. What does that mean? What avoda are you supposed to do? Which is simcha and tuv levav? So simple pshat in the pasuk means saying is that when you do the mitzvahs, it shouldn't be like a burden to you. I mean, you should enjoy the mitzvahs. It should really be part of your nature, and as such, there will be simcha and tov levav. And otherwise, if you're doing it on like a burden or whatever, you're not really the right attitude to mitzvahs. I mean, you could think about it. I didn't really have to look into it, but that's what sounds like a simple pshat. That's what I'm talking about. But it's a drash, it's saying it's referring to an avoda, which is b'simcha v'tiv levav. What's that? Shira. Sing a song. Okay, sing a song. It's like, and he quotes a rash, he quotes a pasuk. It says, and I guess it's the girsa, but ein adam shar shira, ella mitov simcha v'tiv levav. A person sings a song from simcha v'tiv levav. D'chsev hinei avdi yiron mitov lev. So it's an idea that he sings from simcha v'tiv levav. So it says, what avoda is there which involves simcha and tov levav, happiness and a good heart? That's a song. And what song is Shira? Shira in the Mikdash. So it says, because you didn't do Shira in the Mikdash. Okay. So the Gemara says, how do you know? Ezer says, maybe it means Devar Torah. So you see, the Torah, the words of the Torah, are considered Misam Chaylev. So maybe it means because you didn't do Avodas Hashem of Talmud Torah, because Talmud Torah is called Mesam Chaylev. So maybe that's what it means. Tachas Avodas Simcha V'Tov Levav means that you didn't do Talmud Torah properly. How do you know it means Shira? Shira isn't the only thing. It's just Simcha. Torah is also Mesam Chaylev. So the Gemara says, yeah, Mesam Chaylev Ikri. Tov, lo Ikri. It's called Mesam Chaylev, but it's not called Tov. And here it says Simcha V'Tov Levav. Tachas Avodas Simcha V'Tov Levav. Both. So Torah only has, Talmud Torah only has Simcha, but it doesn't have this idea of Lev Tov. So Gemara says, Vema Bikurim. Maybe it means the bring of Bikurim. Dechsev, Esamachle B'chala Tov. Should be happy with all the good. So it says, yeah, Tov Ikri. Tov Lev of Lo Ikri. Yeah, it's called the good, but not good of the good heart. Okay? Fine. Okay? That's the end of the Gemara. Okay? Okay. So Tosfos asks, Tosfos says, in Tomar, this is Misamayach Le Vikri, Tov Lo Vikri. In Tomar, Bechsiv Lekach Tov Nasati Lachem, Tov Li Torah Spicha, Torah is called Tov. Because Gemara says, why can't it be Talmud Torah? It says, because Talmud Torah is called Misamayach Le, it's not called Tov. It's called Misam, right? But it is called, there's Pesukim here. Tov Li Torah Spicha, Lekach Tov Nasati Lachem, it is called Tov. So it's a Dah, Vishnah Lachem, Misamayach Le Vikri. Tov, Shesamachla Simcha, Mashmish Lesson Simcha, Yinami Tov Asamachla Lev Loikri. So yeah, it's called Tov. Torah is called Tov, but not that Tov has anything to do with Simcha. Tov is Tov Levav, that is, Tov has to have some Shaychas to Simcha. But the fact Torah is called Lekach Tov Nasadich, I mean, it's a good thing that God gave us. But that doesn't mean it has nothing to do with Simcha. Or it doesn't say the word Levav, it just says Tov. So that therefore that doesn't count. Okay? That doesn't count. So it says, there's a medrash. So it says, Vayitav libo pirshashi sheish b'medrash, Vayitav Leiva B'Talmud Torah. It says Tov Leiv by Talmud Torah in the Medrash. V'achinam Yoshinan Shabbos Vayitivcha Libcha Al Talmud Torah. So another two limudim, which Joshos, which say Talmud, you know, Tov Leiv by Talmud Torah. Yishlomo looks at Badja. Okay, it's nice. It's a Josh, but it doesn't say openly. There's no open pasuk like that. Okay. Okay, let's leave off the rest of the game. Okay, fine. So basically, it's saying, so you have this thing. It says that you're punished because you don't do avoda, b'tos, simcha, b'tov leivav. Two terms. Simcha, I guess three terms. Simcha, tov leivav. But simcha, tov leivav is the unit. So it says, it means shira is something that says simcha and tov leivav. So I Torah, simcha, true, but it doesn't have tov leivav. Bikur has tov, true, but not tov leivav. Okay. So these are the facts, right? This is basically it. Did you guys prepare this or not? Okay. Did you guys look at it? Yeah, so these are basically the facts. I mean, there's not much more to go on here. So the question is, what's the idea? What are all these terms? Simcha, Tov, Levav, right? Tov. And saying Shira somehow. Apparently this should shed some light on what Shira is. Right? And what Shira is. Right? Because, like, and you could also wonder, I mean, you could wonder, is that, look, it's from the previous thing, we said, V'sherius B'Shem Hashem Alakav, right? So it's V'Shem Hashem, that was the idea, to find the vote of Shem Hashem. Okay, but why are you singing it? Why is it a song? Altogether, what does it have to do with a song? So just say, okay, this is a Kavan Hashem, what's the idea of a Shira, using Tehillim and a Shira? So it sounds like this is somehow addressing that point. It's like, you could just say, like, halachically, Shira is defining the thing as Hashem Hashem, you want to include that in the Ma'aseh Avodah. Okay, but the Torah could have done that through different methods. It did it through a method of Shira. So presumably it's going into the idea, the concept, of somehow making it an Avodah, B'Simcha V'Tov Levav. So what is that? What's that idea? Right, what's that idea? I mean, I think we have to just take it step by step. First, what's the idea of Simcha V'Tov Levav by Shira, and then we'll get the question from Talmud Torah and then Bikurah, and then you have to just go a little bit, you know.
You think they're real harmonies?
I think they're havaminas, or at the very least, we have to define what in what way is Talmud Torah different from, it's not just words, it must be Talmud Torah partakes of it somehow, but not quite. It must be, it only has one aspect. There's some kindness to Leva, Talmud Torah is one of them. Svikurim is also kind of, sort of, you know. I think we should at least try to define what these things are, you know. I mean, that's what I think is this is so. This is trying to show, it's like a time, this Gemara is showing the time of why it is that the Sheres B'Shem HaShem HaKav is Yeshiva. What's the idea behind it? So the deities I'm mentioning is a funny kind of apostle, because you're getting punished because you didn't serve God with some clever to believe. I mean, that's the person's emotions. What's the person supposed to do about it? Either he's happy about it or he's not. And now he's supposed to blame a guy. What I was just saying is that, you know, sometimes emotions follow from a natural way you relate to the Torah. If you do the Torah properly, then it should bring that Simchon Tov Leivav, and if not, then, you know, that indicates that you're not doing it, you're doing something wrong. But, I mean, it could be, just as an approach to this, like, yeah, to fill in the blanks, but maybe it's saying is that somehow the mitzvah of Shira should really assist the person in being able to do the Torah of Simchon Tov Leivav. I mean, it doesn't just, not just, of course, not just this Avodah, but it's indicative to the Josh is that this mitzvah goes away is in terms of bringing a person to doing the mitzvah specifically to Levav. You know what I mean? It's a particular mitzvah which is designed to affect the person in that type of a way. So even the person, you know, there's certain sort of focus on certain mitzvahs could help a person work on that area. So it could be that people didn't do that properly, you know. Tochah is if you don't do that properly. But it's not exclusively this mitzvah, but this like mitzvah could be like embody this, that type of, it's possible. Maybe that's a good approach though, is what can we just say, what does it mean? Talks about the simple to label. What does that mean? What's the critique? I mean, who cares? Say, who cares? Look, I'm doing Torah. What am I going to do? So I don't know what's simple to label. Who cares? Your question is more like, well, you can't blame me. But well, why do I care altogether? Who cares? Let a guy have whatever he wants, feel however you want. It's a difference. The Torah really care about how you feel. The Torah should care about what you're doing. Doing Torah mitzvahs. Torah mitzvahs 100%. You're a perfect Jew. What are you doing? So you're not happy about it? So, big deal. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And who cares? Why does it even matter? Why are we legislating your emotional state? Yeah, so a thing like this is that that like there's an idea, is there's a personality. A person has two parts to them, right? His mind and his emotions. And the thing is that the Torah really should talk to a person on both levels. You could have a guy who is intellectually involved in Talmud Torah and keeping the mitzvot, but it's not real to him emotionally. He's not entrenched in it. He's not happy about it. I think, see, the natural state of a person, where a person is fully engaged, involved in the Talmud Torah, and it's really a reality to him that should bring about a simchat tov leiv. But to the degree to which a person isn't fully convinced of the Torah, or he doesn't fully go into the Torah, then what could happen is like he could kind of go through the motions, even intellectually, he could understand the ideas of the Torah, but it's not like a reality to his emotions. He hasn't sufficiently worked on his emotions. He could value something else emotionally, and he could just be doing the Torah because he knows intellectually it's good, you know? And so far as that's the case, he's going to be conflicted. He's going to be doing the Torah, but all day long he's going to be thinking, oh, I wish I was able to do that. I wish I was able to do that, you know? So the thing is like that's because the Torah hasn't really sunk into his personality. He hasn't really gotten the Torah to register as being, it didn't hit him emotionally. He hasn't really gotten through to his personality, to the depths of his personality. He's conflicted, you know. And so the person who's really the true level of Torah is where the whole personality is a person of Torah. And that means your emotions and your mind are fully engaged in the Torah, and you're going to be very happy about the Torah. So it's a good way of life. If insofar as you're fully sold on the Torah, so then you can enjoy it. Why not? It's really designed for man to be happy and to have some fun. But it's because of conflicts that it takes away from some fun. Now, it could be what it's saying is that, how do you do that? So it could be it's saying Shira is a tool. Because what Shira does is first of all, you're involved in karma, in avodah. But again, avodah is just a mechanical action. You go to the mikdash and just shaft the karma, and it's very nice. You did all the motions. So, you know, it's a real, you shaft it and you sprinkle the blood, you know, and whatever they're doing in the avodah. But it could not register in the person's, his personality. So what Shira does is Shira, I think, has two parts to it. First of all, it's a song, and it's melodious, and it moves the person emotionally, engages his emotions. But it's engaging with his emotions, with ideas about God. It's not just melodies, it's words. And what are the words? The words of Tehillim, and concepts about God. So what it's saying is that together with his involvement in the Avodah, or with his witnessing of the Avodah, there is a song which talks to him emotionally, and there are concepts which somehow engage the personality on an emotional level. Okay, and that gets through to a person. Is that it seems like saying it's like that helps move the personality and aligns the emotions with the conclusions of the mind. You know it's true, but your emotions aren't on board, aren't in line. And the activity of the Shira, which does draw in your emotions, but it kind of, so to speak, brings your emotions on board. It takes them from being, from your listening to the other music or whatever, and now there's a part of you that enjoys music, but now that musical enjoyment is tied in with ideas and concepts, and it kind of allows the full personality to grab hold of the Torah, to grab hold of the Hashem. Yeah. But I mean, I think it has to be, and this is what I think is there's a lot of people are into singing and dancing, but I think it's important that here it's tied in with, first of all, the words are words of a Tehillim concept, and it's being done together with the Avodah, you know, with the Maisei Avodah. So it's like, it's not just happy, feel good about God and just be happy about it. I think I think the real method is where it works together with the ideas. And it's like, but it presents the ideas in a way where his emotions could be involved as well. So you think about it, but at the same time, there's no conflict. His emotions aren't, satisfied as well. And good Mikdash does that to a large extent anyways. I mean, Mikdash is a beautiful place. It's a whole experience. So it opens up the person to, wow, this is a unbelievable place. And then his emotions are involved, and then you show him the ideas and the concepts, and this whole person is attached to the Torah. It allows you to access a person's deep depths. in a way which just giving him an abstract cheer, you know, or talking about ideas in abstract, won't do. Okay, good. So the Gemara asks, but what do you mean? Talmud Torah does that. The Torah does make you happy. And so, in fact, that's the thing. Avil is not allowed to learn. So Avil is not allowed to simcha, and simcha takes you away from the morning. And that's why the Torah makes you sameach. So you're telling me, isn't the Torah supposed to do this? I understand if you're just doing mechanical actions of avodah or karban maisim. I understand. Your personality is not going to engage your emotions. It's not going to engage you in in simcha. And therefore, you're not going to be moved towards the enjoyment of the Torah. And, but it seems that the Torah does say that the Talmud Torah is simcha. So what do you need a song for? Right? Simcha. So the Gemara answers, no. It's simcha, true. It's not chaylev, true. But it's not called tov. Tov life. Right? No, that's what it says. It's not called tov. So what does that mean? What's the difference? Okay, so I think I'm saying similar to what Danny's trying to say here is that that there's two levels of simcha. There's a simcha which comes, just so to speak, a more reflective, a simcha based on a more reflective type of a thing. A person reflects on his life and reflects on truth and realizes he's involved in truth, and it makes him a certain, he's engaging an ultimate reality and his mind is working, and there's that certain type of a simcha. Okay, you're thinking about your, about the self and your attachment to truth and reality, and it moves the person in a certain type of way. But then there's a more basic simcha, simcha on a more basic instinctual level, in music. The music is, it's different, the simcha of the Talmud Torah is tied with the intellectual, with his reflection and his ideas. Right? It's based on, it's more sublimated. But then, the simcha of the music is just, it's the emotions on a basic, purely just the talks of the emotions themselves. It's not based on the message, intellectual message and how it hits the emotions, but it's the emotions per se. So it could be saying is that simcha and tov levav, that in shira, it really hits a person's emotions on two levels. Okay, which is that first of all, there are concepts and there are ideas in this in shira, so therefore it moves him intellectually and he thinks about those ideas and he's moved. But it also is musical and therefore it moves him on a purely basic emotional level. It gets that part of his personality into the mix. Whereas Talmud Torah, it doesn't engage the person in terms of his pure, basic emotions. You may have some more sophisticated psychological emotions, psychology which is involved in Talmud Torah. So it could be it's saying is that the tuv levav is almost like a good heart. It's not just it makes you feel good kind of thing. It's tuv, it's good. It doesn't really have the same type of. I'm not sure exactly from the words. I'm kind of just saying this from what I see in Talmud Torah, what I see in. I don't exactly see why the word tuv levav means this as opposed to that. But it could be it's like tuv levav is just like a good heart, puts him in a good state of mind. His heart is, pleasant, he's happy. It's a different type of an effect, creates a certain, there's background music creates a certain mood. Anywhere, this idea of music. Music gets somehow, it talks to a person's unconscious. But simcha of Talmud Torah isn't like the person's just some deep way to talk to his unconscious. It's based on the intellectual ideas of the thing and the involvement of the personality, and a higher part of the person in truths is very makes a person very happy. The person's happy when he thinks about that. He realizes he's in touch with a certain the deeper truths, and it brings a person joy. And the whole experience is an experience, but it's still not the same. As much as you enjoy learning, it's not the same exact thing as enjoying a concert or enjoying. Arguably it's better and it's worse, it's different. On a pure, basic, instinctual level, it just doesn't do what a steak does or whatever, it's different. But it's higher because it involves a man's higher component. But it doesn't, but this, I guess the thing is that Shira, it really engages the person on all levels. Engages the person on all levels. Okay, and it really brings the Gavra to this Avodas Hashem in a proper way. I think the thing here is that you want to hook up the intellectual with the emotional. I think usually a person could do one of two things. He could sit there, he could sit and learn, or he could sit around the Ladder Kumsitz or whatever and be singing. And then it's that's purely an emotional experience, and the learning is totally an intellectual experience. What Shira does is he's involved in the mitzvah na'avoda. He's involved in, like, it's like a halachic activity, so he's involved in the world of mind, and at the same time it hits a person's emotions. And it talks about the ideas. So, I mean, it's a full, you know, it really is, the halacha forces him to be mind. But I think usually a person submits to the emotional experience. If a person just submits to the emotional experience and drops his mind, then I don't think it's gonna, then it doesn't work. So, I mean, you have to, I mean, I guess in theory it comes to and whatever. You could try to think about the ideas and the concepts and the, you know, but it has to really be you're engaged intellectually. Usually once the emotions come in, you forget you already dropped your mind, you end up getting carried in by the emotions. Here it's like, you know, there's an avoda going on, and the avoda has ideas and concepts built around it. And, you know, so it kind of keeps a person's focus on the ideas, while at the same time, the emotions are there in the background. You know, I would think it's just a kvias for a song. I don't know. I'm not saying it can't be done, that you really engaged in it, but it's hard to see how you could do that, is to be thinking about the abstract concepts at the same time and thinking about it has to be of the same stuff. I mean, you can't just turn on classical music and think about it as far. Doesn't it's like it has to be where the music is like part of the halachically part of the activity that you're doing. So it's shira. It's like the Torah set up like a model. I mean, it's worth thinking about exactly how it works. You know, seems like there's a sense of this thing. You know, but I mean, how exactly it's person psychologically is it's worth thinking about a little more. You know,
which one's coming first? Is he?
Sure. Okay, so that's a good question. Mari says, so what's the meaning in Simcha L'Vasav Yayim? It sounds like that means. Simple as it sounds like it's not instinctual, right? Sounds that way. Yeah, so I think the answer to that is that the Simchas Yontif is not really a Simcha about Basar and Yayin. If you're drinking mead and wine on Yontif and you're thinking, wow, this is the awesome mead and wine, and that's why you're happy, I don't think that's really the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. It's a Simachta v'chagacha, it's not the Fination of Lekacha. So the Simcha is really about your relationship with God. And you're thinking about the Hashkachas Hashem, like on Yantaf, it's about Hashkacha. Every Yantaf is about five different events of the Hashkacha. You know, so the Simcha is based upon man reflecting the fact that God relates to him, and he has a relationship with God. But I think it's saying is that it's a good question, you can do the Sigya. But I think that on one level, there's, I think, a psychological level and also a halachic level. But on the psychological level, is the person, is, so to speak, if a person is not, is like, and this is, I think, like on examples also, like if a person's emotions aren't dealt with, then it kind of prevents him from simcha. Or the fullest simcha could be reached when his emotions could come in line. So it's like if you do the ma'isa of sabasar yayin, it brings a person, you know, puts him in an emotional state and prepares him to be involved in reflecting on the simcha of the simcha of Tzmach Tafnashon Lekacha. It's like a maisa, which is expression of the idea that today's the yom of simcha about, but simcha is not about the basar. Simcha is about the yom, but it puts him emotionally in a state which enables that. Which is similar to this point I'm saying here about Shira, but I think it's a little different because the simcha of the basar yayin is a little bit of a disconnect between the basar yayin and the lefnei Hashem. Like here, the song is actually a song about ideas about shevach. So it's like really they come together. You know what I mean? Whereas the simcha of the basar yayin is like, so to speak, a machshir. You know, it's an action which could put him in a state which, you know, makes him think, wow, this is, makes him happy, and then he's in a state where he could reflect. You need like a right state to be involved in the Simcha of the Torah and the Simcha Yantif. I mean, just to sit back and like while you're tired and you know hungry, just to sit and think about the Simcha of the Torah, you know, it might be possible. But the action of the Simcha of the Yayin kind of is a Maisa HaMitzvah, which is set up to bring a person where, you know, to bring out that Simcha. But the Simcha involves a reflection. I mean, it is interesting to say simcha, like simcha is yayin. Like, it doesn't say simcha is getting drunk. You know what I mean? Or drinking, intoxicating drinks. It's specifically yayin. So, like, maybe there's, like, an idea of, like, the simcha of yayin is partially related to, like, some sort of sophistication. It's like a person, like, yeah, he doesn't drink a sophisticated drink. A person, chashav, a person feels a certain type of this, sense of significance. Like, when you just drink, like, drinking a beer or drinking, you know, some sort of vodka or whatever, it's not the same type of an experience. And, like, you see, it's like a bum on the street drinks vodka, a sophisticated person drinks wine. It's like it talks a person on more and more sublimated type of levels. So it could be that simcha isn't, and I'm not sure, but it could be that a simcha involves like a higher type of a level. Not necessarily ideas. It's true they're ideas, but it could be simcha. The real simcha is the simcha lev. I think it's talking about someone's yanta for simcha of Talmud Torah isn't ideas, but it could be that yayin has lent itself to bring that about, because it kind of does talk to a person on more than just a basic instinctual level. It talks. It's a little more. It's like a sophisticated kind of a drink. You know, and it could be more sophisticated than music. Music is just anyone could hear music. But yayin is like, I'm not sure, something like that. It's a good question. What happens, and what's the next time they march? Is what are Bikurim? Bikurim is Tov. It says, Samachta v'chal Tov. So it has Simcha, because you're very happy, maybe you're happy about Lefnei Hashem, you know. Samachta v'chal Tov, Hashem Nasan Hashem Nagacha. So there's a Simcha. Because you have your, you know, it's the God gave you the stuff. It's b'chol ha'tov. It's all this great stuff that God gave you. So maybe you think it's like, yeah, look, it has the emotional effect that God gave you good stuff. It's like your fruits, your good fruits, right? So maybe it's a person recognizing God, thinking about God, Nashgach Hashem, and at the same time, it involves the tov, which are these great fruits which God gave you, right? So it seems to hit a person on both fronts. That is, it says Tov, and you know, it says Tov, and it says Samachta. Someone says, yeah, but not Tov Levav. Tov, but not Tov Levav. Right, I think it's saying, he's right, you think it's analogous to singing and thinking about the ideas, or thinking about the ideas of Ashkacha and having your good fruits. Similar type of thing. Okay, so I think what Danny's saying is that, you know, right, there is a disconnect. And see, there is definitely a Simcha, or a tov levav, or associated with eating good fruits, eating your special great stuff. I mean, that's not the idea in the Bikurim. You're not just sitting and eating good fruits, but you're bringing them, and you realize you're bringing the tov which God gave you, and these are great things, and your produce, and you're saying, hey, God gave me this stuff, and there's a simcha that God gave you this good stuff. But the experience and the action of Avos Bikurim doesn't really, doesn't engage the person's Tov Levav, doesn't engage that person on a basic level. It involves like a thinking about the Tov that God gave him. And even maybe the action of really eating those fruits could really bring about that state. But that's not the Avod. I mean, those you're bringing it in Fnei Hashem Lekecha and reflecting and bringing it to the Kohen and thinking about that God enabled you to have the Tov. But the experience itself is not an experience which simultaneously involves that basic level together with the concepts and ideas. So it's tov. It means the tov levav is, it's not just that it's good, but it also, it like talks to the person's lev in a certain way. Here it's like as tov, but not the, you know, you could reflect on how good it is, you know, but it doesn't really engage him in that way. At least not the action of Avos Bikurim. Like, if Samachta v'chol ha'tov means that Shoshana Nasan Gilchaz, they're saying you recognize that God gave you such good stuff. And it is good. It's good stuff. And maybe, you know, you could reflect on that. And it does emotionally, it's good. It is emotionally good, but it's not the experience of the Tov Levav. So it's not, you know. Like, it could be a similar to Tosas saying by Torah. Torah is Tov also. Torah calls it Tov. Torah is a Tov thing. It's a good thing. But it still doesn't have the same experience. But I'm wondering if the eating the fruits maybe would. But the problem is that's not the avodah of the Bikurim. But the Bikurim is not the avodah of eating them. It's the avodah of bringing them and being happy that God gave you them and thinking about the Tov, but it doesn't actively engage the Tov, the Tov Levav. Tov Levav is where the emotion is engaged in the Tov in that way. And Shira has that.
Sure,
that's a good point. It's like eating it, right? You could bring them and then eat, even if you would eat them, but the eating is separate. It's still separate. It's like music lends itself to being background. It's interesting. It's like there's a phenomenon of background music. It's like it's a type of an enjoyment which could accompany something else. So, right, it's like an activity that you do, so when you eat, you're thinking about eating. when you do learn anything by learning, when you do whatever it is you're doing, you're involved in that, and you're engaged in that. So how do you have one thing which is going to simultaneously involve all these things? But music is the solution. Because in music, you're involved in an action, and then there's the music in the background. It's a background thing, and the background's about concepts and ideas, so you think about the concept, have the emotional feeling, you know. Could be that's why people like music, you know, the idea of background music, you know. Restaurants and music, you know, it's like an idea. It's like you're involving another pleasure passively. How do you involve the two different pleasures at the same time? The music is the solution. You can actually engage a further part of the personality. But here, it's being used for, you know, in Torah, and Shira is an institution which does that. It's true, as any saying, it could be it works with Mikdash. It's a whole process, a whole experience of doing Avodah and Shira, watching the whole thing, move the person in a way that it's not possible to do, like just now. What are you going to do? You mean sit down, learn Torah, and put on music, or sing a song, or even, you know, read the Hillel with music? It just be, it's not, it doesn't really move a person. Torah constructed a halachic whole system which really moves a person in this way. And it's a tachas shalvad that you had the opportunity to do this and you didn't do it properly, and therefore your personality wasn't fully engaged. You were really split. Part of you was involved in Torah, but other parts of you were conflicted. And that's why the tochcha, you didn't really take full advantage of the opportunity which was given to you by the Mikdash. I mean, now it's much harder for a person to do that. You know, I mean, you could try to do it by Torah, but it's not going to, it seems like it's not going to be sam chaylev, but it won't be tov leivav. So if I'm learning, it's not going to talk to you on that level. So there's I don't know if there's, I don't know if it's impossible to do, but there's no action which does it. I mean, you have to introspect and maybe you can kind of work on it, but it doesn't talk to the person in the exact same way. Yeah. It's interesting. It essentially didn't bring up, like, some Chasyantov maybe doesn't say Tov anywhere there. Yeah. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying is, if you see what I mean, is like, see, I don't think this is like the halacha, like the halachic definition of what Shira is. You know, like I don't think that would be the Shira is a Maisa, a Roda of Simcha and Tov Leva. I mean, I don't know, it just doesn't sound like a halachic, you know. The halachic is the Sheris B'Shem Hashem Alakav, is that you have the Avoda of the Kohanim and you're giving it a character, incorporating the Shem Hashem into the Maisa Avoda and defining it as expressing that it's a Shem Hashem, you know, and not like a Shem Avodah or whatever. So that's part of that's the halacha of Avoda. But now the Torah could have done that through different methods. So saying it did it through Shira because this is a good method to do it. So that's why Shira is, you know, the halachic, just did it Shira. That's halachic, the Shira, and that brings it. Shem Hashem, what's the problem? So you say, why don't you just say it? I don't know, because that's the Torah said. Shira, there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing bothered us, you know. But this is going further. That's what I think Rav Masna is doing, is showing a further point. So the Rambam doesn't bring it down because this is just the cause of the thing. Halachically, the role of what Shira is, the Rambam brings down, you know. But that's why I think, again, I didn't really, it wasn't I in all these other shittos. There are a lot of different ones that are quoted in these psukim. I just didn't have time or whatever, I just didn't do it. I moved on to something else. But it would be interesting to see, I mean, if you want to study it, see what exactly new points are each one's adding. Presumably they're adding, I would think, if this right approach is right, if we could generalize from these two, which is never, it's not a safe bet that you could, but, you know, you have to really do it. But I would conjecture that it's good, you know, further points, dimensions of Shira. Because, I mean, the Torah is designed, I mean, the Chachmas Hashem is such that it could really have many levels of meaning, and the choice of the methods could really, you know, have many, many levels. So I would think each Amora is adding in a new point, but not that it's a further point, but not that there's like a eight-way machlokas. I mean, it's just a funny way, eight-way machlokas, one guy's supposed to get the Torah, the other one's, you know, just, hard to believe, you know? And now they're all just possibly like the first one. You know, that's my impression of what's going on here. What I'd like to do next is, by the way, it's a good chance I'm not going to share Wednesday, I'm not sure. Okay? Wednesday. I have some sort of thing in school, I don't know, I'm not sure when I'm going to know either, but whatever, we'll keep in touch. Or maybe I'll start on the phone, but we'll talk. But Tuesday, tomorrow, I think what I'd like to do is Sukkah. Like a Sugya and Sukkah on the Osik B'Mitzvah Patamina Mitzvah. Okay, so it's on Sukkah Chaf Hei, I think. Chaf Hei Mabez, it's a Mishnah. And there's Rashi and Tosvos.
Chaf Hei?
Yeah, I think it's Chaf Hei Mabez. Sukkah. Oh, maybe I'll try to send an email. I'll try to do that. Okay. Fine. So, and that's, I want to do Rashi. I think like Rashi tells us what's the idea, what's the mitzvah. You see, the basic machlok is between Rashi and tells us what's the mitzvah, and mitzvah. If you have the ability to do them both, or you have to. Okay, so hopefully we'll do that for a little bit. Okay, I may be a little bit on and off in the next few weeks. And I have a lot of different meetings and stuff in school as the semester winds down. So I'll keep posting. Okay, I mean, Shira is also, it's true, it's like by Yashir, by Shira, by miracles. Move the personality, the whole personality to see God. It's not just an intellectual thing, but it moves the person emotionally. And that's why you sing Shira. In the Torah, those are models where you have people sing Shira, by miraculous things, salvations. So the whole personality is moved, spontaneously expressed as Shira. You know, but the idea is still, Shira always about concepts, but it's a song. You know, those are like models of it, and like, it could be like Hallel is that kind of thing. You know, I don't know if, I'm not sure exactly the difference between Hallel and Shira, but that's an idea of, it is just an Einom Shira, well, let's hold off on that. Yeah. So that's, you know, that's in line with this, I think. I mean, everybody has a Shira, I know it's a Shira, it's like Chumash Shira. I think it's, what I'm saying is actually largely probably based on that year. I mean, I didn't realize it, but I mean, you know, it's kind of in the back of my mind somewhere. But it's a good shira, anyways. It's called Shira Yam. It's very interesting. It talks about a lot of the same stuff. If you're interested in it, it's a good chumash. It's a very good one.